Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you again for such a beautiful day. The sun's out, the weather's beautiful, but for allowing us to have the freedom to come to your house to worship. And yes, this is Father's Day, and it's your day as well. You're the father of all of us. And it's been almost 2 years that my father entered heaven, and I miss him on a daily basis. And I know he's at rest, I know he's healthy, and I know because of you that we will all be reunited, and I look forward to that day. I saw a report on the news. There's 18 million children in the United States that do not have a father in their life, and to me, it's heartbreaking. It's unimaginable. But we pray for those children. We pray for those fathers that need to be in their life. We lift up to you these three young children this morning that were baptized, that you watch over them, that you protect them, that you lead them down the right road, their family as well. I'd like to lift up to you the Proctor family, the recent loss of Miss Diane Proctor. Comfort them within the next few days. Surround them with your arms. Let them know that she is at rest and she is at peace. And open our minds and our hearts to hear the message from Brother Kyle, as well as Billy during Sunday school lesson. If there's anybody in this audience today that's not sure where they stand, bring them forward. Let us reach out to them. And these things we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Happy Father's Day. That was weak. Happy Father's Day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's just good to be with God's people. And I want to encourage all of you today. My dad's in glory. A lot of your fathers are already in heaven, and I'm still trying to get used to that. But if you're here today and you have all your faculties about you, just pick out a man before you leave and tell them how much you appreciate them and their leadership and their family. Would you do that today? Three of you will. Okay. Y'all know this is supposed to be a dialogue. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. So if you have your Bible this morning, we're moving through the book of Philippians, and what a powerful little book it is. It's a joy-filled book. The joy of the Lord is the constant theme as we move through this great book of Philippians. And I want to just start by reading, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14 today, but I want to just read one verse, two verses. I want to read Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, and then we'll come back and move through the first part of that chapter, okay? I know y'all been up and down today, but could we rise in honor of the reading of God's Word? Verse 10, that I may know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Where is my father-in-law? CW, where are you? Why don't you open us in prayer? This is my wonderful father-in-law. My dad's not here, but the second best man in my life is here. So CW, ask God to bless the word today.
Well, I could visit in your house. My friend, right? First one, Father, you have something in particular that each of us. Those that are here without knowledge of you. Pray, Lord, from heart, that they may receive your special and special love.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Andre, I think you've got a preacher up and coming in your family back here. We're moving through the book of Philippians, and so we find ourselves in chapter 3 this morning. And you know what I have figured out in life? Used to be a little bit different, but today it's not what you know, it's who you know. Are y'all with me? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And this little story kind of puts it in encapsulates everything I want to say today. There were four little boys, 7 and 8 years old, in this little boy's living room. And they were talking as little boys do. They were all bragging about their daddies. And so the father of this, in this home, his little boy was one of the four of them, and so he wanted to hear what his little boy was going to say about him. And so he hid behind the corner, the wall there, and was listening to these boys bragging on their daddy. Well, the first little boy had said something like this, my daddy knows the governor of our state. And then the second little boy said, got that beat, my daddy knows the senator of our state. And then the third little boy spoke up and said, I've got all of you beat. My daddy knows the president of the United States of America. And so then this dad kind of leaned around the corner because he wanted to hear what his boy was going to say. And his son said, I've got you all beat. My daddy knows Jesus. Amen. And so I've entitled the message this morning, Do You Know Him? Do you know Him? And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Word of God, tells us this morning that we all had better get to know Jesus. We'd all better get to know Him, because knowing Him is what counts not only in this life, but in the life to come. Everybody on board now. We understand what? So I want to ask you this question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Now, I'm not talking about this kind of knowledge. I'm not asking, do you know about Him? I'm asking, do you know Him? And so Paul again, we're back in chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, that's the theme of this letter. Rejoice in the Lord. He returns to this wonderful keynote all throughout this little epistle to the church in Philippi. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you remember last week, Paul had sent Epaphroditus back home from Rome, back home to Philippi. And he was to bring a word on how the Apostle Paul was doing to the church in Philippi. And I can just imagine the Philippian faithful asking Epaphroditus, how's the old Apostle Paul doing, and how can he rejoice in the Lord when he's in prison? And I would imagine, I'm reading between the lines now, but I imagine Epaphroditus said something like this, well, you know, brothers, I went to Rome in order to cheer Paul up, but he wound up cheering me up. I want you to know, I believe this is what Paul would say to us this morning. I want you to know that it is possible to have joy in all circumstances of life. It's possible to have. Now, anybody can take your happiness, but nobody can take your joy from you if you've got Jesus. Y'all with me so far? All right. So, I want us to answer three questions from this text this morning. And the first question that jumps out at me in verses 1 and 2 is, do you know the precepts, the principles of Christ? Do you know the precepts of Christ? And one of the first principle or precept that Paul tackles here is this thing, well, he calls them ferocious dogs. Now, I know we got some dog lovers in here. But back in the day, dogs were considered unclean animals. And most of those dogs not only barked, but they'd bite you in a heartbeat. And so, a lot of wild dogs in those days. And so his precepts, his principles, guard against ferocious dogs. Look at it with me. Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Jesus will help guard us against deceivers. Dogs do bark and bite, don't they? How many of y'all? Well, don't answer that. There was a group of so-called Jewish Christians called Judaizers that opposed Paul everywhere he went. They were like snapping dogs at Paul's heels. Everywhere he went, they were barking false teaching. And they were trying, this group was trying to mix good works with salvation. Salvation, according to them, came from, yes, grace by faith in Christ Jesus, but also they attached good works to that. Salvation came through faith plus good works, according to the Judaizers. And so these men were Paul calls them evil. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Now, the word evil means depraved. These were bad folks. How many of you know there's bad folks even in the church? Now, don't start looking around at people, okay? But that's Paul was surrounded by some ferocious dogs. But our principles in Christ guard us against that. And his precepts, secondly, guard against false doctrine. Look at verse 2 again. He says, beware of the mutilation. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. There it is again. And have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the word mutilation there is a play on words. It's a pun for the word circumcision. The Judaizers were teaching that a person, yes, you needed faith in Jesus, but you had to also be circumcised. Now, the Old Testament act of circumcision was very painful. It was normally conducted and administered when a child was 8 days old. But now, we're under the new covenant. The new covenant, not the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. And we're circumcised not by the cutting of the body with a knife, but by the cutting edge of the cross of Jesus Christ. Have no confidence in the flesh speaks of the realization that all of us are bound for hell. And the only thing we should and can have confidence in is the cross of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have heard the old saying, God helps those who help themselves? I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell itself. God stepped in when we couldn't help ourselves. Hallelujah. And so that's what we're talking about here. His principles, his precepts guard against false doctrine. No amount of circumcision, no amount of baptism, no amount of communion or tithing or any amount of good works is going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ and a relationship with him is going to get you to glory. Now, I believe in all these other things, but there's a difference. Once you've truly been born again and saved, you ought to want to be baptized because that's your first marching order. I could have preached that right out here this morning. Some of y'all are here, and you claim to know the name of Christ, and since you've been saved, but you hadn't been baptized yet, that's your coming out party. That shows people that I belong to somebody. No amount of that, no amount of water out there in that tub, no amount of putting money in this plate or in this, that's not a plate, that's a pail or bucket, thank you. None of that will get you any standing with God. We are all hopelessly lost without Christ. And so that's what we're talking about here. His precepts guard against false doctrine, against ferocious dogs, and against fleshly desires. Look at verse 4. Now listen to what Paul says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now listen to this. This is his old resume. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul continues with this idea of salvation by works, and he knew what it meant to try to attain salvation in that manner, because that's what Paul had been trying to do up until the time that he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. But if anybody could brag and boast about his good works, hey, it was the Apostle Paul. You understand what he's saying here? He's saying, hey, I'm a direct descendant of Abraham. I was a stellar star of the Pharisees. I could preach in any language. I mean, and according to the law, I was blameless. I kept the law. And he said over and over and over again, what he's saying here is that I'm blameless. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. But all of that stuff didn't get him a relationship with God. You see, what we can't figure out is that our good works aren't going to satisfy God's wrath for our sin. And so our good works point to our salvation. They do not get us salvation. And there's a huge, huge difference. And so his precepts guard against fleshly desires. What does the scripture say about filthy rags? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that compares to knowing Jesus. Nothing else and no one else can heal us of all our diseases. Amen? And so do you know the precepts, the principles of Christ Jesus? Now, I've said all of that to say this. I want you to look at verses 7. Well, let's just start right there. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found, isn't this beautiful? And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Do you know the person of Christ? That's the question that's being proposed here. Not only do you know the precepts and the principles of Christ, but do you know the very person of Jesus Christ? And if you do, there's three great truths that he's talking about here. Knowing Jesus provides a profit. The key word in these three verses is the word count. And it means to evaluate, to evaluate. Knowing Jesus provides a prophet. Now, I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm talking about prophet. Y'all with me so far? Okay, let's unpack this. Paul's comparing the things lost, the things that he'd given up, over and against the things that he had gained in knowing Christ. Knowing Christ was the greatest thing that ever happened to Paul. I mean, he never really got over it. And everything that Paul had given up, that word rubbish, that's a bad word. Do you know what that word really is? Human feces. Paul said, I hadn't given up anything in coming to know Christ. Everything that I've given up is nothing. It's human feces. I don't want to be graphic, okay? But he says, all of that stuff, I've gained everything in knowing Christ. None of those things in Paul's life gave him acceptance before God. His religion, his righteousness, his rank, all of that stuff had left Paul empty and satisfied. And when Paul opened the books to take stock of what he had over and against and what he had gained, Paul's profit margin was out of this world. And I want to tell you, if you belong to Jesus, if He is your Lord and He's your Savior, you are wealthy beyond belief. Your profit margin, He's got a retirement plan that's out of this world. Thank God for that, amen? And so Paul's telling us, That knowing Jesus provides a profit. And there's nothing like knowing Him. And then secondly, knowing Jesus provides power. And boy, I like verses 10 and 11. Whoo! let's look at it again. That I may know him and the power, there's that word, of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, knowing Jesus not only provides a prophet, but it provides power. Now, you understand what Paul's saying here? He's not saying, I don't want to know what the Pope says about Jesus. I don't even really want to know what the priest says about Jesus. I want to know him. And you know, the question springs, every time I read that verse, it springs up in my mind. I mean, didn't Paul already know him? Come on. He's not some rookie in the faith here. He's a veteran of the faith. He's in the last days of his ministry, and he said, yet that I may know him. You know, I thought Paul knew him when he met the resurrected Lord on the Damascus Road. I thought Paul knew him when the scales fell from his eyes at the house of Ananias. I thought Paul knew him when he joined the fellowship of the Last Baptist Church in Jerusalem. There's really no Last Baptist Church in Jerusalem, but you understand what I'm saying. I thought Paul knew him when he left as persecuting Saul and became praying Paul. I mean, I thought Paul knew him after he founded dozens of churches and won hundreds to faith in Christ. I thought Paul knew him after he wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books, and yet Paul says that I may know him. Well, let me tell you about that little word, K-N-O-W. He's not talking about this up here. He's talking about this right here. And it speaks of a growing, listen to me, watch this, lean in, please get this morning. He's talking about a growing, personal, intimate, face-to-face, heart-to-heart. I mean, I'm talking about a real, shown-up relationship with Christ. I'm not talking about this namby-pamby mess that the church claims to know today. And so what he's saying is that I may know him, that I might grow in him, that I might have a passionate relationship. Do you have this kind of relationship with him? That's where we're at today. Are you growing? Is he walking and talking with you? I mean, are you in that type of relationship with Christ? Well, that's what counts, brothers and sisters, that I may know him. Paul wanted to have more than just casual relationships make me want to throw up. They do. And more than that, what's this mess about just half in and half out with Christ? That doesn't fly. Paul said that I may know him intimately, personally, that I might be growing in him. And when that's the case, guess what we get? Look at your neighbor and say, power. Now, all of you, look at your neighbor. Whoever your neighbor is, that's who you're sitting by. Shout, power. Power. Knowing the person of Jesus Christ provides power. Now, this word power is the Greek word dunamis, and we get our word for dynamite from that. Now, I've noticed something about dynamite. When it's detonated, things get rearranged. And when the dynamite power of Jesus Christ comes to take up residence in your life, things get rearranged. Old priorities pass away and go somewhere else. All things that used to be important are not important anymore. And then those things that are of primary importance, your life, your priorities are changed. Jesus loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He rearranges priorities. There's power available to live the Christian life. And by the way, there is a power, a spirit, a force in this world that wants to keep us just the way that we are. Wants to keep you inept and inferior. wants to keep you with this low self-esteem, wants to keep you down and defeated and depressed and discouraged, wants to keep you racist, wants to keep you sexist. But bless God, there's power to live above that kind of mess. Amen. Do you know the power of Christ? Aren't you glad Jesus loves us too much to leave us the way we are? And when He comes to take up residence in our life, He changes us and gives us the power to become who He wants us to be. And He gives us the power to overcome. Not only to become, but to overcome. Y'all, that's good preaching. Come on. Now, here's what I mean by that. He will help you overcome any and every circumstance in life. He will. He said He would. I mean, wasn't it Jesus who said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world"? Hello? And so, hey, you with your bad temper, you can overcome that. Hey, you with the bad marriage, you can overcome that. There's power available to live the Christian life. Hey, you with all this old negative mess. Hey, you with addiction. You can overcome all of that. That promiscuous lifestyle. That self-esteem problem that you've got. You can overcome all that. There's power available. Hey, you with the unforgiveness, bitter spirit. You can overcome all of that because there's power available to live the way that God wants us to live. Look at your neighbor. Your neighbor's the one sitting right beside you today, in case you didn't know that, and say, "There's power in Jesus' name." And you got to plug into the power source. Amen? And so, do you know the passion of Christ? Do you know the power of Christ? Do you know the purpose of it? Look at verse 11. "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." And he's talking there in verse 10 about the fellowship of his suffering. How many of y'all love to suffer? That's what I thought. But I want to tell you, there's a special fellowship with Jesus when you're in the midst of suffering that you can't get any other way. I don't like it, but I want to tell you, I've learned far more about Jesus and far more about Cal Hampton in times of trouble, and times of suffering, and times of sickness, and times of illness than I ever could have learned had I not been through that suffering. And so that's what that by the way, suffering is our badge of identification. It is. There's a special, intimate, passionate, personal identification with Jesus in the midst of suffering. I don't know exactly how He does it, but all I can do is stand up here and tell you His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I know the Fry family knows exactly what I'm talking about today. He can get you through whatever you've got to get through. He can. He said He would. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's... Y'all do know some of those old hymns. Praise God. Well, I want you to think for a minute about the suffering that Jesus went through. He was beaten, bruised, bloodied beyond recognition. And then He went outside of Jerusalem to a hillside and He was crucified, put to death for all of our sin. The Bible says He became sin for me and for you. He died for us. He took our place. He went to our hell and back for our salvation. And you see, what He's saying here, if you really know Christ, if you're really being conformed to Him, there's nothing you won't do for Him. Two amens. There's nothing we shouldn't be willing to do for Christ, because look what He did for us. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. There's no sacrifice too great for those who want to attain from the resurrection of the dead. Do you have that passion? Is that your passion? to serve Christ with everything you've got. And so I want to come back to all this. If you really know Him, if you really know Him, you know the power of Christ. You know the passion of Christ. And then finally, in verses 12, 13, and 14, I want to ask you, do you know the purpose of Christ? The purpose of Christ. Look at it with me. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Look at the one you're sitting beside and just tell them, God's got a purpose for you. So what is that purpose? What is that plan? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, His purpose involves assessing our situation. Paul is saying, you know what? I hadn't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. He was satisfied with Jesus, but he was not satisfied with his own Christian life. And he begins to make and take an assessment of his own situation in light of one hard, cold fact. The world he was living in was dying and going to hell. Did you hear the preacher this morning? The world we're living in is dying and going to hell. Real folks that we love and care about are dying and going to hell every single day. And Paul said, I've got to press on. I've got to do what God left me here to do. And the purpose for which Christ had laid hold of Paul was to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom. And my brother, my sister, when you got saved, that became your purpose, to advance God's kingdom. To serve Him with all of your heart. None of this namby-pamby, halfway in and out, watered down mess that so many church folks are into. God died for you. He rose again for you. And He's coming again one day for you. And what you do for Jesus is what really counts. Y'all, that's good preaching. That's great truth though, right? And so what we all need to do here this morning is take an assessment of our situation. Take a look at where we are. Examine your heart today. Are you in the faith or not? Are you being obedient to His Word? Are you sharing your faith? His purpose involves assessing our situation. And I'll close with this. His purpose involves adjusting, making an adjustment to our sights. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying, I hadn't arrived yet? Mercy. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul comes to a full stop and he takes a look. He's made an assessment. And now he's making that adjustment in his life. And he looks back to everything that he's accomplished. And by the way, you can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. Let me say that over here. You can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And sometimes it behooves us to take a look at where we've been. And then head out in the direction which God would have us to go. And so that's what Paul's doing here. And instead of sitting on the premises, Paul is standing on the promises. And he's saying, I'm going to press on. And after coming to a full stop, you know, he comes to a fresh start. And that fresh start involves going forward. We learn from the past, but we look to the future. Oh, that's a good word. We learn from the past and we look to the future. And we live in the present, not in the past. We're not living on... We've had some great victories here in the last 4 years, Second Mile Church. Well, two of you think so. Have mercy. Come on, y'all. This is interactive, okay? We've had some great victories the last 4 years. But can I just, I've come here today to tell you, God is asking this question: what are you doing for me today? Where are you today in your walk with Christ? What are you doing for heaven's sake? What are you doing for Jesus' sake? And the picture that Paul's painting here is of an athlete going forward to hit the tape. Going forward, I press on toward the goal for the prize. By the way, there's going to be some rewards in heaven for running well. There are 5 crowns. I don't have time to get into all of them. But you know what I'm going to do if I get one of those crowns, and I'm planning on getting one? I'm going to lay them at Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. Can I ask y'all a question? Who do you want to be proud of you? Do you want Jesus to be proud of you? I know y'all do. This means yes. Well, the things that we're doing right now determine whether or not you're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What you're doing right now determines what you're going to hear later. I won't tell you what, I can almost see this finish line. I might have, I don't know, I might have 10. If God's gracious, I might even get 15 more years. But you know what I've decided to do? I'm going to keep going forward with Jesus. And He's going to take me wherever He wants me to go. And I am living proof God will use anybody. Y'all can say amen to that. I mean, if He'll use me, God's got a sense of humor. He'll use anybody. And brothers and sisters, you listen to the preacher this morning. We live in a lost community. 90% of the folks that we live with in Clarksville are on their way to a devil's hell. They have no relationship with Christ. Don't you want others to have what you've got, or have you got it? If you've got it, you want others to have what you have. So we have got to get on board. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, I've said all of that to say this: knowing Jesus is what really counts. Knowing Jesus is what really counts. And here's the deal. Do you really know Him? I'm not talking about this mess up here. I'm talking about relationship right here. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Yes. Are you serving Him? Yes. Has He got number one priority in your heart and in your life? Does He? You know, you can be saved and kind of drift away, like the old song says. But one of these days, you're going to be face to face with Him. One of these days, everybody in this room is going to be face to face with Jesus. And what you did with Him now determines what you'll hear later. Oh, I can't make it any plainer than that. Let's pray. Father, I don't know how to make it any plainer. But it is my hope and my desire and my prayer this morning that everyone within the sound of my voice, under this roof, would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Oh God, don't let anybody leave lost from Second Mile Church. Please God, don't let anyone leave anything undone spiritually in this place today. God, you brought us here. You're the one who put us in these seats. You brought us here. And God, You're calling for a deeper walk out of most of us today. And You're calling for us to trust You with everything that we have. Oh God, help us today. Help us this morning to be all that You want us to be. To quit playing church. To quit playing around half in, half out. and to sell out completely to you, because God, you've got a better purpose, you've got a better plan for us than we have for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you right now, I want you to be totally honest. Do you know that you know that you know that you have a relationship, a heartfelt, living, breathing, walking, talking relationship with Jesus? Do you know? How many of you would say, Pastor, I think so, but I'm not real sure. I think I do, but I'm not real sure. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around. Would you just slip your hand up in the air real quick and put it, thank you, thank you. Put your hand right back down. Anybody else? Now let me ask this question. How many of you are for sure you do not have what we've been talking about? You don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Would you be bold enough to say, I need Jesus today? Would you slip your hand right up in the air? Nobody's looking around. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you. Others, we're going to have what's called an altar call in church. And if you'd like to know for sure if you're saved, if you're born again, if you want to be saved and born again, we're going to open up this altar. That's what this is called right up here. We're going to ask that you would come. And we've got counselors available to help you answer any questions that you may have. And they'll put some stuff in your hands to get you started right or to help you to have revival in your life, whatever the case may be. But you've got to come. And so I want to pray that you would come. I want our deacons and our wives, I want you counselors to be ready. Father, bless this time right now. It's Father's Day, God. Help us to sell out completely to you today. Help us to quit playing church. Help us, God, to know you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn or an invitational song. And you know who you are if you need to come. I want to ask you to come up front here. We'll pray with you, pray for you. We'll counsel with you, whatever we've got to do. Deacons, don't wait on me to ask you to come forward. Y'all just come on. Let's all stand and sing. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.